Good morning. I was talking to Sue earlier, and she has a pretty special prayer request this morning. So, Sue, why don't you come up and share, and just we're just going to have a little prayer together here. What are their names, Sue?
Joey Rollinsdorf, Ada, and Agnes.
Jody,
Ada,
and Agnes.
And then I don't know the name of the group.
Okay.
People,
give it to me again. Jody.
Joey.
Oh, Joey.
Ada.
Agnes. Barry, would you pray for him, please? Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Sue. This week, we have a wonderful day coming up on Thursday. It's a day that I really enjoy because it's all about food. It's supposed to be about other things, but it seems like food is the big thing. I found out last night that I was all prepared. I was going to be fixing like a 24-pound turkey, and I found out last night, now I'm fixing a 38-pound turkey. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm supposed to be doing it on the grill, or the same thing that we roast the hog on. I've never done that. I have no idea. This is going to be tough. I may have to talk to Keith, Tana, and get some good advice here. The story goes like this, and I'm going to get into the message here quickly, but the story goes like this. Friends of ours, you guys all know John and Cheryl. John and Cheryl were here, and Keith and Tana have raised these magnificent turkeys, but they're big. I mean, really, a 38-pound turkey. And so Cheryl decided that she wanted to buy a turkey to take back to Toledo, and they were going to have all the family in and have this. Well, after she bought the turkey, she was thinking, I have, you know, a 7-8 hour drive to get back to Toledo, and I don't have a cooler to put the turkey in. So they figured between when they were here, which was Hog Roast Sunday or weekend, when they were here and Thanksgiving, oh, we'll be back before then, and you know, we'll get a big cooler and put it in the cooler and take it with us. They haven't come back. And so Cheryl called last night and said, you've got, you know, family coming up, you've got a pretty good group coming, why don't you fix the big turkey? I don't want to fix the big turkey. well, we won't use it because da-da-da-da-da and all this. And so as it ends up, we swapped turkeys, so when they come, they're going to take our little 22-pound turkey or whatever it was home, and I got to fix this great. Seriously, it's like this. I'm not exaggerating, folks. And fixing it on the grill, it's going to be interesting. So anyway, that's my Thanksgiving dilemma. As most of you know, I don't like to get up early, and I have a feeling that I'm going to have to get that grill started pretty early in the morning to have it ready for a afternoon meal. So Thanksgiving, and it may sound like it. I just thought of that. Really, our sermon this morning is Thanksgiving or complaining. So you can decide which one I was just doing. And now I feel bad because I'm going to be talking about complaining and it's wrong. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, Thanksgiving or complaining. And these words express two very contrasting attitudes found in God's children, really, in regard to his dealing with them. The soul that gives thanks will find comfort in everything. The soul that complains can find comfort in nothing. There's a highway in North Carolina, and it goes up to a little town, little community called Caruso, North Carolina. And they also sometimes say up the river, North Carolina. That's Caruso. But when you drive into the little community of Caruso there, and literally it's just a community on both sides of the road, and you shoot through it pretty quick. And when you drive through there, the sign coming into Caruso says, "Welcome to Caruso, home of 700 friendly people and one old grouch." Now, the truth is, all of us at time become grouches. But wouldn't you like to have the title as the town's grouch? We may know that word by different terms. It might be griping, grumbling, whining, or belly aching. In the King James Version of the Bible, the common term used for this griping and belly aching and complaining is called murmuring. And regardless of the word that we use to describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. The dictionary defines it as an expression of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, discontent. Listen, complaining is always, it's the outward expression of discontent from within. There was a man that was well known for constant complaining. He inherited a large sum of money, and when he got this large sum of money, he complained about it, that it was not as much as he thought he should get. He bought a farm and asked his wife what he should name the farm, and she quickly answered, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" Now, the message this morning, it may not apply to most of you. We don't have grumblers and complainers and murmurers in here. But the truth is this, complaining seems to become the great American pastime. And we live in a very complaining society. People gripe about everything. You know what? We are going into the holiday season, and I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, the most precious time of the year next to Easter that we as Christians can celebrate. And the griping and complaining and belly aching has already begun. And it started back before Halloween. And it's going to carry on through the new year. People griping, complaining. We see the rate of alcoholism go up. We see the rate of domestic abuse go up. We see the rate of suicide go up. All of these things over the most precious time of the year. We are a society that complains and gripes and grumbles. And it's very ugly to see. That's that complaining society. People just gripe about everything. In my opinion, and it's just my few sins are as ugly to God as the sin of complaining. And there seems to be very little thankfulness or gratitude today among God's people, but a whole lot of complaining. Complaining is part of our culture, and it isn't anything new. Human nature hasn't changed, really. Let me explain. Centuries ago, the Jewish nation was being fed by God from heaven. Check it out. They didn't have to go buy groceries. Being fed by God from heaven, every morning for nearly 40 years, God sent little wafers of manna down to the camp of Israel. The Bible, by the way, calls it angel's food, not angel food cake, angel's food. You can look it up in Psalm 78, verse 25. But there came a day when the people complained.
We're tired of this manna. Same old thing every day. Get up in the morning and go out and pick the manna, get the manna. I'm tired of manna. I don't want it anymore.
And their experience points out an important truth, and that is the danger of getting used to our blessings. Getting used to them. God was taking care of the children of Israel. He had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. He had taken them through the Red Sea and had defeated their enemies for them. They never had to worry about where to travel because God's presence was before them. God protected them from danger, and God provided them food and water day by day. And you'd think that the people would be thrilled with God and what God was doing for them. But they weren't. They spent much of their time complaining. They complained about their godly leader, Moses. They complained about the way God led them. They complained about the way God fed them. There was a time when Moses was a great man in their eyes, but not anymore. There was a time when the pillar of fire that led them was an awesome sight, but not anymore. There was a time when they could hardly wait for the morning to come so that they could go out and gather the heavenly manna, but not anymore. You know what happened to these people? The same thing that happens and can happen to you and me. They had gotten used to their blessings. The wonder was gone. What was once a daily miracle of God's love became a routine occurrence. We're tired of this manna. Can you imagine being tired of food that came directly from heaven? Tired of food that came from the hand of God directly to you? Can you imagine just getting up in the morning and saying, not that again? Can you imagine getting tired of a daily miracle? And I thank you so much, Tana. Yeah, it's there. I'm sorry. And yes, I had water to drink today, but anyway, thank you. Tired of the daily miracle, and this is what happened to them, and is happening to people today. We have gotten used to God's blessings. I want you to think with me for a minute. Think of the blessings of this nation. Now, we complain. America complains. We've forgotten the blessings. Not everything in our nation or about our country is good, but listen, not everything is bad either. We enjoy freedom here, yet we've gotten used to it and we take it for granted. Our material wealth is the greatest of any nation on earth, yet we complain because we don't have more. While we Americans are fretting over diets and trying to lose excess weight, Many people in the world are trying to find enough food to keep them alive just one more day. And then we take this matter of government. With all its faults and all its failures, our Republican way of life is still the best way. Yeah, how many of us really participate in our responsibilities of government? Many Christians don't even bother to register to vote. Why should I? If God withdrew from us the national blessings that we enjoy, I'm sure that every one of us would cry out and beg God for freedom again. And it's too bad that sometimes we have to lose something to appreciate it. Don't get used to the blessings we enjoy as a free nation, folks. It can be taken away. Cherish the God-given privileges we have, and cherish them and use them wisely. Whenever we start taking something or someone for granted, we start complaining. For some reason, many of us actually enjoy complaining. You ever run into somebody like that? You look up and say, "Oh, what a beautiful blue sky." "Yeah, but there's a cloud over there." "Wow, what a great day it is." "Yeah, but rain's coming." They got to complain about something. And the Bible warns us, Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputing, without complaining. Think of all the complaining that goes on in the home. We take for granted the blessings of the home. We have clean clothes, nourishing meals, money to pay the bills, opportunity to be together and enjoy family fellowship. And this is family. And I look so forward to Sunday morning, to gathering with my family here to worship God together. By the way, don't take it for granted. It's special. It's a time for family to come together with our Heavenly Father. Don't take it for granted. It's an opportunity for fellowship. But something happens, and we lose some of those blessings, and perhaps a mother has to go in the hospital, and we discover that what is involved and what it takes to keep the home running smoothly. Or perhaps the head of the house is out of work or has taken a cut in salary, and we find out quickly that money doesn't grow on trees. Or we take the matter of our own personal Christian life. Just think of what prayer really is. Fellowshipping with God, the God of the universe, and sharing our needs with Him, it is the breath of our relationship. And why this privilege ought to excite us? It ought to stir us up so much that praying would be the most enjoyable and thrilling experience of the day. Can you say that? That my praying is the most thrilling experience of the day? Why not? Because we take it for granted. "Oh, well, God's always there. He's going to hear me. It doesn't matter what I say. He's there. I can do what I want, and then I'll pray. Oh, wait a minute. About to go to sleep. I need to pray. Lord, thank you." We take it for granted, folks. Think about when prayer is just a dull routine. Think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And He went through that because He desired to have a relationship with us. And yet we take it for granted. What Jesus did for us on the cross ought to excite us. And it ought to stir us up to want to live for Him every day. We've gotten used to our blessings, and the result in our lives are tragic. What happens to us when we get used to our blessings? I've already mentioned one sad result. We become critical and complain. But something else happens. We lose that sense of wonder that makes life enjoyable. Life becomes very mechanical, very matter-of-fact. And instead of having a childlike spirit of humility and wonder, we become cold and hard like a machine. When you sit down at your table to eat, do you ever feel a sense of wonder that God is taking care of you? Just think of all the lies behind even a little piece of bread. Think of the thousands of gallons of rain that had to fall in the fields. The thousands of hours of sunshine that God had to send. Think of the harvesting and milling, the baking, the shipping, the distributing of the loaves. And all of this just so you can have your morning toast. Please don't get used to your blessings. Keep that sense of wonder. Keep that sense of wonder that God is supplying your needs day by day. Live each day as though it might be the last opportunity you'll have to enjoy your family or be with your friends or share in a church service or read your Bible. You know, it's interesting because Sue just asked for prayer for these family members going to Sweden who don't have that freedom to openly read their Bibles or pray or preach or share the gospel. You know, people would love that freedom. And we take it for granted. Immediately, we need to ask the Lord to give a new appreciation for old blessings. Open your heart wider to the love of God and keep the sense of wonder in your life. Do not get used to things that God has blessed you with, but rather every day thank God for those blessings. What do you take for granted? What do you take for granted? What do you complain about? Thanksgiving is an attitude of choice. I wake up each day and I try to do this. I can't say I do it 100% of the time, but every day when I wake up, I thank God for that day and what that day is going to present. Because I don't know what it's going to present. I don't know what's going to happen, but I thank God for the opportunities He's going to lay before me. Because Thanksgiving is an attitude, it's a choice. It's a choice that we make, and we can either be thankful or express gratitude for the rich blessings of God, or we can gripe, murmur, and complain about our circumstances. The choice is ours. We can choose to be thankful or not. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And David makes a deliberate choice to praise the Lord. We can and should make a deliberate choice to move from grumbling alley to move over to Thanksgiving place. There's always something we can be thankful about if we look for it. Two school teachers who hadn't seen each other in several years met at a convention. And they began filling each other in on what had happened in their lives since the last time they had visited together. One teacher said, I got married 2 years ago. Oh, that's good, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, the first one said. My husband is twice as old as I am. Oh, that's bad, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said, because he is a millionaire several times over. Oh, that's good, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said, because he turned out to be mean and he won't give me any money at all. Oh, that's bad, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said. He did build us a $500,000 house. Oh, that's good, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said. It burned down last month. Oh, that's bad, her friend replied.
Well, no, not really, she said. He was in it when it burned down. There's always something to be thankful about if we just look for it. And we're constantly,
we're constantly to live a life of thanksgiving. So this morning, before I end the message, and I do have a little ways to go, so don't get excited, I briefly want to share with you about what it means to live a life of thanksgiving. And I want to talk about how we can take this annual holiday and turn it into a constant everyday attitude. How can we live a life of gratitude and praise? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Folks, we are to honor God in all that we do, all that we think, and all that we say. And today I'm just going to share a little bit about being grateful in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we think. First of all, we need to act thankfully. I believe that we need to demonstrate a life of thankfulness in everything we do. And that begins with the heart of service. Serving is a demonstration of appreciation. It's a demonstration of respect, and it's a demonstration of love. And it can be done in a selfish, ungrateful way, but when it's done, it's a blessing both to the server and the served. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Are you thankful for the area of service that God has called you? Acting thankfully also involves sacrifice. It requires us to give up something of ourselves. And one of the ways that is demonstrated is in our financial offerings to God. Giving back to God is a way of thanking him for the blessings and provisions. Giving is an honor. It is an obligation, but it is an honor. And it's an honor to be considered as we look at what we have and we give to God. Every time you write an offering check or put a dollar in the offering plate, take a second to say, "Thank you, God, for everything you've given me, because everything I have is yours." We can also act thankfully by sharing what we have. It might take the form of sharing some of our abundance with those who don't have as much. It might be sharing with the homeless or the needy. People who really understand thankfulness and appreciation usually are very good at sharing with others. They know how great it feels to give. And this doesn't just apply to sharing our stuff, but more importantly, sharing our faith. You know what? I love you enough to tell you about Jesus. That's the best I can give you. I can give you food. I can give you shelter. But the best I can give you is Jesus. Our faith is truly transforming and valuable and important. And we need to share it with those that don't have it. Secondly, we need to think thankfully. I believe that gratitude starts with our thought life. It begins with taking captive our every thought. It grows out of an attitude of appreciation, humility, and proper perspective. And one of the best biblical descriptions of how thankfulness needs to be infused into our character is Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17. It reads like this. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and as you admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Great passage. And it's clear from the passage that thankfulness is supposed to be a regular part of our lives. And I believe that gratefulness is emphasized here because it is the perfect antidote to pride and selfishness and a host of other sins. After all, what's the opposite of thankfulness? Things like complaining, arguing, selfishness, a sense of entitlement. Our sin nature wants to try and convince us that we deserve more, that we are in the right, that we have been taken advantage of, or that we really have it bad. And I have to admit that I have a low tolerance really for that kind of mentality. That's just the truth. God has blessed us in ways that we fail to count. And being negative, that's not what we're supposed to be like as believers. Thinking thankfully involves three things. I'm going to go over them quickly. One is prayer. If you want to be thankful, start with prayer. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer. Nothing more powerful than that, not a closer connection to God than that. And if we want to move from being a complaining, arguing, murmuring people, we begin with prayer. And we come before Him without complaining. We come before Him and we talk to Him and we thank Him for the things that He's done. Other part of being thankful is worship. Because worship has a way of putting us in a mindset of thankfulness. Verse 16 of the passage in Colossians is an example of that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's hard to complain. It's hard to be grumpy. It's hard to be bitter and selfish when you're singing joyfully to the Lord. As we were singing this morning, I tell you what, we'd have had a hard time being grumpy and selfish and complaining. Why? Because we're saying one thing with our mouth, and even though we may think it's only coming from our mouth, it's coming from our hearts too. Come thou fount of every blessing, everything, it comes from God. And it's hard to be grumpy when you're singing joyfully to the Lord. And singing lifts our spirits and focuses our attention on God. And it puts us in an attitude of praise. And if that's not happening to you when you worship, then you might be doing it wrong. You might have come in with something that you don't want to let go of. The other thing is to dwell on the good. Our minds can sometimes be uncooperative with this. They keep wandering back to that nagging money problem, going back to past failures, other unproductive things. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're just chilling out and relaxing or spacing, you know, kind of spacing out in church, how a weird random thought will cross your mind? And sometimes that's not a good thought. And it's a thought that you're sitting there saying, I've come to worship you, Lord, but that dirty, rotten stinker. Because Satan loves to destroy your worship experience. Satan loves to get a hold of your heart and drag it in the mud. But we need to dwell on the good. And sometimes when we're not, the strangest stuff just shows up. Because we have that natural inclination towards evil. And we have to train our minds to think about good things. We have to purposefully dwell on good things that God has done. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now listen to this. This is a wonderful, wonderful, powerful passage. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Memorize that. What are we to think about? We are to think about those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely. Those things that are admirable. Those things that are excellent and praiseworthy. That's what we think about. And the next time you start complaining and grumbling and having these problems, go to this passage and remember this passage and say, wait a minute, I got to change my mind, I got to change my heart. There's better things to think about, and I can do it. It's a great filter, and ask yourself, are my thoughts true? Are my thoughts noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable? If not, it might be time to make an adjustment. Along with thinking thankfully, we also need to talk thankfully. It's important to express our gratitude from time to time, and talking thankfully involves praising others, praising God, and sharing our gratitude. When was the last time that maybe you told your spouse, I'm really thankful that I married you? In my case, I'm really thankful that she married me. Don't know how that happened. Or do you tell your kids that you appreciate them? Or do you let God know how thankful you are for what He has done in your life? If you're a believer in God, saved by grace, you have a lot to be thankful for. No matter how bad life gets, you still can't complain. Psalm 105, the psalmist begins his song with a call to everyone. Starts out with verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You hear the passion in that invitation? Let your heart so overflow with gratitude that you give thanks to the Lord from your heart. And He's not just asking for a dull ritual prayer around the table. He is calling us to fervently and sincerely thank God from the bottom of our hearts. In other words, don't let your thanks be just a duty. Let it be a spontaneous, a sincere expression of grateful love for the Lord. And I want to suggest that you can passionately give thanks to the Lord if you're first willing to do some serious thinking. Think about how much God has given to you. Or how often do you take a break from your hectic schedule and think about every good and perfect gift that your Heavenly Father has bestowed on you? It's easier to focus on all that you don't have, isn't it? Well, so-and-so just got this. Why can't I have one? What if you took time, let's say 15 minutes, to think about the beautiful, wonderful people and things that God has provided for you? He gave you that spouse who's seen you at your worst and still loves you. He gave you those kids who think you're the greatest sometimes. He gives you that nice warm home that you enjoyed on those cold, chilly nights. He gave you that job that pays your bills. He gave you an appetite to enjoy eating a big meal. He gave you a heart that can love and be loved. He gave you His Son, Jesus, so you can experience abundant, eternal life. And we could both play Count Your Blessings over and over again. But I think you get the point. Sure, you have problems, and you can't run away from them, but for just a little while, we can quit complaining and set aside those problems and take time to think about our blessings. The best thing about living a thankful life is that it helps us put things in perspective. And when we focus on the great things that God has done for us, the annoying junk in life just has a way of losing its importance. Let me tell you something, folks. God is way more important than the junk we face here. And during this Thanksgiving season, let's begin to demonstrate our appreciation by acting thankfully. Let's train our minds to think thankfully. And you know what? Let's take the opportunity to talk thankfully. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, write it down and remember it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do stand before you with thankful hearts. Each one here can look at their life and can see those things in their life that are negative and bring us to negative thoughts and ideas. But that's not our desire. Our desire is to be thankful in all circumstances. And Father, we can be thankful because you are there, because you pour yourself into us and you show us the things to be thankful for. Father, I'm thankful for family and for friends. I'm thankful for this body of believers that comes together. And Father, we come together and yeah, we have times where we don't agree or we don't get along, but Father, we're still family and it's your family. And you are the head, you are the Father, we're your children. And so we look to you for answers. And Father, we are so thankful that you're there. We're thankful that you guide our lives and patiently and lovingly show us the things that we need to do and the things we need to overcome. I pray for each one this week that they would be able to express their thanksgiving to you. More importantly, that they would be able to express their thanksgiving to those around them. Father, fill our hearts and our minds with your love. That we would share that with everyone. I pray, Father, that we might turn from complainers to those that would worship you and share thankfulness. We lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.